When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the press. I'm Ryan Ballinger. Great to have you here with us. We're going to talk about the Houston Open this week, the Texas Children's Houston Open. Easy for me to say. That's our PGA Tour event this week at Memorial Park Golf Course in Houston, Texas. And we'll have a second show this week. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth about some of the statistics that go into picks that I make each and every week, some horses for courses, some first round leader bets, a whole bunch of stuff that we'll get into over the course of that second show. And then we'll have just a short audio only podcast for the LPGA, which is at the Ford Championship in Arizona. We've got the DP World Tour planned this week in India, one of the hardest golf courses on the planet. And we also have the Champions Tour playing out at the old home of an LPGA major. So that'll be an audio-only show here this week. So let's get right into everything with the Houston Open. This is the fourth year for the Houston Open playing at Memorial Park Golf Course in Houston, Texas. It used to be for years and years and years out, like near the Woodlands. And it was kind of a setup, back when it was the Shell Houston Open, meant to be a setup for the Masters, as close as they could get Golf Club of Houston to look like and feel like Augusta National. That's how they got decent fields over the years. Well, they don't have that anymore. Memorial Park Golf Course is a municipal course. It was redesigned by Tom Doak. Brooks Koepka actually helped in the architecture of this. He was one of the player consultants on the PGA Tour side when they were redoing this. Jim Crane, who is the owner of the Houston Astros, is a backer of this tournament, of golf in Houston, of the rebuild of that course. So the golf course is in the confines of Houston, Texas, opened in 2022, par 70, 74, 75 on the scorecard, $9.1 million in the purse, $1.71 million to the winner, and then 500 FedEx Cup points to the champion. Now, we have 19 of the world top 50 in the field this week. That's a strong field. Nothing wrong with that at all whatsoever. You've got two headliners, though. You got three, I suppose, but your two obvious ones are the two best players on the planet right now, Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler, right? Xander Schauffele started to come along, saw some interesting data from the PGA Tour, especially after Valspar, that Xander Schauffele is starting to gain strokes like mad on the approach. They just haven't translated yet into strokes off the tee. And that's where he's struggling right now. So he's starting to maybe play his way into form. Watch TGL last night if you did get to watch that. The Atlanta team wound up winning a really interesting match. I think it was 6-5. Second match of that three-match series is late this evening, 7 o'clock. And then if necessary, there will be a third match immediately thereafter to determine the TGL champion. But you've got the two best players on the planet right now, and then you've got everybody else. You got Wyndham Clark in terms of world rankings by your next best player. You got Aaron Rye, you got Minwoo Lee, Jason Day. So we'll get into that list of the guys, but this is a very, very top heavy field. Next week, when we've got the Texas Open, the Valero Texas Open, which is the ultimate precursor to the Masters, then we'll see more of the world, well, a little bit more of the world top 50, and a little bit more of the top 25. As a result of that. So just keep that in mind, thinking about that and the odds table this week. Yeah, we got about half the world top 50, and that's great, but very much concentrated in the talent of the top two players at the top of the field. That's reflecting the betting odds. Scheffler's 4.5-1, 9-2. Rory McIlroy's 7-1. And I'm just going to stop there because I think there is a legitimate conversation to be had this week about whether you should just back those two guys and call it a day, or one of those two guys and call it a day. Have markets out there play those without these two guys. That's also a distinct possibility. I can understand all of those approaches. Rory McIlroy won the Players without his best stuff. And he has two wins on the year, playing the best golf on the PGA Tour this year. Scottie Scheffler is probably going to top 10 this thing without even thinking about it. He's played well in this golf course in the past. He was runner-up here last year when he was practically invincible, lost to Steven Yeager of all people. Nothing against Steven Yeager, but for a guy to get his first win against the guy that was like the boss of the year, that's kind of surprising. That probably has a bug in his craw a little bit. So do you look at just those two guys and go, show's over, we're done here? I can make that argument. I think if I'm going to bet one of the two, I'm going to bet Rory McIlroy because it's 7-1. I think he's playing better golf than Scottie Scheffler is. Doesn't have the same exposure to Memorial Park that Scheffler does in terms of McIlroy, which, fine. But this golf course, the hallmark of this golf course is that it's almost 7,500 yards and it's a par 70. The par fours here are a bear. Some of the par threes are particularly challenging. That's where really where they get you, right? You don't have par fives on this golf course in the same numbers, obviously, compared to a par 72, 35 to each side. So you have more par threes than fives. So I think you lose a little bit if you're a longer hitter in that regard, right? You don't get the easy birdies against par, but you're still making easy fours in a lot of cases. And those are just pars, not birdies, especially on those longer holes. So I still think McIlroy is probably the right play of the two. And if you just cut me off here and bet McIlroy, I don't think you'd be in the wrong. If you want to play a market without, obviously we go down to Davis Thompson at 28-1. I'm not betting Davis Thompson at 28-1. You have to be out of your mind to bet that guy at 28-1. And if you do, and he wins, congratulations to you. But if you go and then to a market without Scheffler and McIlroy, all of a sudden he's the favorite and he's 10, 12, 14-1? No. I mean, that's an unbettable number. So I think if you're going to try to win a market without, you're going to look for longer shots. You're going to look for guys at 40, 50, 70 in the market with and take your chances. So, you know, there's not a lot of reason to, I think, bet any guy in the market without that's shorter than 40-1. Let's put it that way. So let's get into that. Aaron Rye's 30-1. He's been T7 here the last two times out. He's been having a really good season. I think he has successfully answered the question that I posed earlier in the year about whether he's going to be the guy that he was last year. He's going to go back to being the guy that he was before that. He is the same guy. 30-1, I like him. Minwoo Lee and Jason Day. Tony Finau even, 33-1. I like all of those guys here this week. Finau's won here. He's had a good record here. He hasn't had the best year so far, but he has played pretty decent golf, and he likes the golf course. I'm willing to run with that. Minwoo Lee's been playing very, very good golf. Had a great Players, obviously had a tough Saturday in really difficult conditions, but I still think he's playing really well this year. I like him at this number. Jason Day seems to have found something linking to play in Texas. Obviously, this isn't TPC Craig Ranch in McKinney. This is Memorial Park in Houston, but it does seem to find some kind of kindredness in playing in this state. Wyndham Clark's 35-1. J.J. Spawn's got two runner-up finishes in the last four events. He's 35-1. You almost have to consider him. I just wonder how heartbroken he is from losing that playoff against Rory at the Players. I have no idea. I really don't know. But I think you have to at least consider him. Jacob Bridgman's 45-1. We haven't gone all the way into the model yet, but he rates very highly. I mean, extremely highly in my model. Michael Kim's 45-1. Kind of backed off a little bit of Valspar. I feel like I'm worried about him playing too many events. I mean, he is a grinder's grinder, right? And he's trying to run this thing as long as he can. I'm worried that he's up against it. Because usually when you think about guys to bet, after like three events in a row, it gets really hard to bet them. If they play three in a row, that's when performance starts to drop statistically. And that's across the board. It doesn't matter what your standard is. Your performance drops the longer you play in a row. It's just too hard to keep doing. So I'm not as in tune with betting J.J. Spawn. I love Taylor Pendrith here this week. Rates out well. Golf course suits him. It's kind of another one of those brute golf courses, kind of like in Quail Hollow. You just got to get the ball out there and you got to hit greens. Well, that's what he does. He doesn't putt especially great, but putting's not easy on this golf course as it is. If you ever played dope greens, you know it's hard to putt. Everybody's going to have a hard time putting. That's why if you look at the guys who have won this tournament, Jason Kokrak stinks at putting. Tony Finau stinks at putting. Steven Yeager, not so good at putting. Well, I mean, what what's to distract you? What's to deter you from having someone on your card that's a bad putter? Sahith Theegala's 50-1 with Siwoo Kim, defending champions 50-1, which I was tempted to bet 2 weeks ago, but not so tempted now. Tom Dietrich, I'm interested in at 50-1. Alex Smalley, I will highlight. He's going to come up in our second show quite a bit. He's playing very well. He rates out well. He's got a good track record here. He's got a good current form record. Kind of lines up all really nicely. Joe Highsmith's been playing well. Max Gracerman's been playing well. Again, those aren't guys that line up well as horses for courses, but just current form. A lot of people are going to love Ben Griffin. They bet him a lot. Let's look at the model real quick, and then you'll kind of see where I'm going with things here this week. Scottie Scheffler, number one. Rory McIlroy, number two. Aaron Rye, number three. I mean, I don't think any of those guys are particularly shocking. Matt McNeely, four. Jacob Bridgman, man. He's playing good golf. There's a reason he's that number. He is playing very good golf. Really, really good golf. Current form golf is great. Number five on the list. Minwoo Lee is six. Wyndham Clark is seven. Two variable for me. Siwoo Kim's eighth. Tony Finau, ninth. Keith Mitchell, 10th. Keith Mitchell, I think, 10th for the second straight week in a row, or at least in the top 10 for the second straight week in a row. Playing good form golf. Looking at some horses for courses. We don't have a long history here at Memorial Park, but we have enough of one to kind of have, you know, a sense of who plays well here. Aaron Rye, Scottie Scheffler, Tony Finau, Steven Yeager, Alex Smalley comes up on this list, and Alex Noren as well, who rates out pretty well overall. And you'll see in the second show when we talk about guys who finish in the top 20 as a percentage of their total starts, he's one of the seven or eight guys on the list that have finished in more than 40% of their events in the top 20. So he is a relatively consistent player. He just doesn't win. So we'll talk about that in terms of what that means for derivative bets in the second episode. Again, limited number of past champions here. We've talked about them already. Common thread, stinky putters, long hitters. It's a long golf course. You're going to need to be able to hit the ball. So being a short knocker is not going to help you here this week. And that kind of leads into some of the guys I like at these longer ranges, where I think once you kind of get to this graphic and the next couple after it, and we're looking at, you know, the next 60 guys in the field after that, kind of top 20-ish players, now we're talking about guys who you could probably bet a little bit more comfortably in that market without Scheffler and McIlroy, and then you go from there. But these are all to win with every, you know, full field betting on. Davis Riley's playing good, 75-1. Now you got to remember he has two top 15 finishes recently. One of those in Puerto Rico. In one sense, we go, well, that doesn't mean as much because he played against a horrible field, but he also did it on a really long golf course. Grand Reserve is plenty and all you can eat, so that he played well there and leads me to believe he could play well here. So don't discount that Puerto Rico T6 entirely. Jake Knapp's been playing great golf. One of the indicators that I like to use, and we have this available for our members at golfnewsnet.com, if you look at a player's strokes gained in aggregate, and I also do this with approach and tee to green. But if you look at any of those factors in the prior 50 tournaments and the current 10 tournaments, and you kind of take a look at the delta, then you can see the players who are playing well now relative to their standard of the last year. Jake Knapp's one of those guys by a margin of a half stroke per round. So he's playing pretty good golf. I like that number for him. I think he can win here. I'm not saying it's nearly as open as the Mexico Open was, and obviously we see a correlation there between guys who come off the Corn Ferry Tour and winning in Mexico. But he's demonstrated, you know, he's got a 59 on the books, man. He could play a long golf course really well. He did that at PGA National. Played really well with the players. Obviously fell off a little bit, but I do like his game a lot. Love the number this week. Keith Mitchell's 85-1. Keeps showing up in good things. I mean, you're going to bet the 10th guy in my model at the 30th best price. Okay, you probably should do that just as a value play. I'm not saying he's going to win. He doesn't win much, but you want a top 10 bet instead, just considering the way he is priced. And even if then you look at it that way, you're still getting a better price. I think that's a worthwhile bet. Kenyama and Novak are going to get some love. Nikolai Højgaard, I think I may bet this week. I'm going to bet Max McGreevy at 100-1. I just like the way he rates out. Kind of like what he brings to the table. Harry Hall at 110-1 is kind of interesting to me because of his win in Kentucky being on a longer golf course. He seems to have an affinity for Texas golf. I could buy those things. If the wind kicks up, I can like it a little bit more. I don't know how Nick Dunlap's 125-1. I don't know how he has two PGA Tour wins. It really is remarkable. The floor versus the ceiling for this guy. And it has not converged really all that much in this first full year as a professional golfer on the PGA Tour. Eric Cole rates out well. I like Matty Schmidt here, 135-1. German guy. I'm not saying there's any correlation at all between Jaeger and Schmidt, but he does seem to kind of like these longer courses where you can just kind of bang it out there a little bit. Nicholas Norgaard, I like a lot. I think he's going to be a good player for the long haul. You guys know I love Ryan Gerard. Probably not going to bet him this week. Rico Hoey's kind of interesting to me, maybe as a first-round leader play. Jesper Svensson, again, I'm determined to make this guy a star. I think he can be a really, really great player on this PGA Tour for a long time. Playing pretty okay golf. Joel Damon is a sort of horse-for-course guy. Not a full, I wouldn't say like full-throated horse-for-course guy, but pretty close. I like the way he plays on this golf course. And he seems to have a little bit of confidence recently. Then you start to kind of get the right side of this graphic. Carl Phillips missed the cut at Valspar. Thought he might have a nice little bounce back there. Maybe a little too tight for him. This seems a little bit more open. You can't just bang it anywhere, of course, but I kind of like that a little bit better. Then you got Adam Schenk, 135-1. Just a quick note on him. He obviously hasn't gotten there quite yet, as we talked about last week. He told us that he's getting close to his form. Well, didn't find it last week. Maybe it's this week. Who knows? Golf is a very frustrating, high variable game. It's what makes betting on all this stuff so hard. It's why you get these amazing payouts. It's really hard to figure out when players are going to kind of play their best golf, right? Then you got Joe Bramlett, who I think could do quite well here, 135-1. I'm really not betting anyone after 100, probably 100-1 here this week, maybe 110. I might put some money on Jesper Svensson for fun. But other than that, those are guys I'm staying away from, generally speaking. And then looking a little bit deeper than that, you've got Ryuhei Satsuin, the water boy, 135-1, who is actually playing good golf. He is actually playing good golf. I'm not going to bet him just on the principle that I think his pre-shot routine for putting is ridiculous, and I think it's going to be a distraction, and the crowds are just going to destroy him if he gets close. I think it's going to bother him. I would rather bet Isaiah Celinda here on that number going into what you're going to get the rest of the week. So then we'll take a look at some super longer shot guys this week. I mean, there are a lot of guys in this field who are 1,001 or greater. We've kind of reached this interesting stage, I feel like, in bookmaking around talking about professional golf, particularly PGA Tour events, where the DFS community got this a lot faster, I think, than the sports books did, where they have a lot of guys who are in that 300 to 501 range for a long time, and now they just go, forget it. You can put whatever you want on 501, 1,001, 5,001. We don't care. We didn't get that far, obviously, on this board this week, but if you look at some of the guys in the field here, these are predominantly guys that are struggling from the Korn Ferry Tour. Henrik Norlander is kind of interesting, but everybody else is just a big old pass for me. I don't see the value really at all in anybody after 101 this week. I just find it's not worth it to talk about it. Now, I did talk about this tool a little bit, and I don't have a graphic for it, but I use it. It's called Strokes Gained Tee to Green Trends, and we use this for our members at golfnewsnet.com. And I don't want to give away all of the sauce, of course, because there's a membership component involved, and you can join Golf Newsnet for $40 a year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. What I will say is that I look at the Strokes Gained Tee to Green in this tool over the last 50 events played and the last 10 events played, and then do a delta of their average, right? I want to see if you're playing better currently. Bronson Burgoon is right up there at the top of the list. Play much, obviously, has limited opportunities, right? So that number is a little bit skewed. I want to look more toward guys who are playing more frequently than the rare chance you're like the seventh alternate and get in based on a bunch of guys deciding not to play. So, for example, Pearson Cootie playing very well. He Monday qualified. He's 150-1 to win the tournament. Wasn't that graphic when I put it together because the Monday qualifier hadn't been completed. But he's 150-1 to win the tournament. I don't think that's outrageous. He's playing really well on the Korn Ferry Tour. You could tell, and I've said this before about him, he's good enough to be on the PGA Tour. He doesn't have that full status right now, but he's clearly demonstrated he can be better than the Korn Ferry Tour. He just hasn't clearly demonstrated yet to play well enough consistently on the PGA Tour. I think he is an interesting case here this week. Of course, Michael Kim's one of those guys. Peter Malnati's actually playing a lot better recently. Still in the net. One of the interesting things about this is just a straight comparison. Matt, it's not how positive you are. He was really negative. Now he's only kind of negative. That doesn't mean he's worth a bet at all. It's just interesting. Nikolai Højgaard is one of those guys who was positive, slightly positive, now is quite positive. I think he's interesting. Jake Knapp, we mentioned earlier, about 0.16 strokes to the neg tee to green in the last 50 in the aggregate, but plus 0.41 in the last 10. That's a pretty significant turnaround. Alex Smalley actually was quite good in the last 50, 0.7. He went up to 1.26. So he's playing almost world-class caliber golf. I mean, these are world-class guys, but like top 20 caliber golf in the world based on those numbers. Rico Hoey, guy I mentioned before, mentioned a couple times already on the show, playing great. JJ Spahn, another guy, playing great. Jason Day was in the neg in the last 50, plus 0.4 in the last 10. Ryohei Satsun, same thing. Taylor Pendrith, same thing, kind of in the positive plus 3.5, plus 4, 0.34. Now they're in the positive plus 0.7, plus 0.65 something. I mean, those are good numbers. Those are easily looked at good numbers. Even Rory McIlroy is playing better. And he's a guy that's so consistent, plays so well. If you look at his last 25 tournaments, it really is remarkable worldwide what he's done with almost half dozen wins, at least 5 wins. He was at 1.42 strokes gained tee to green on the average in the last 50 events, which is frankly frightening. But then you look at the plus 1.7 number that he's put in the last 10, you go, well, how do you beat that guy? And that goes back to the original argument of this show, at the start of the show, is do you bet the market only with those two guys in Scheffler and McIlroy and just call it a day? And I think the data could tell you there's a case to be had for that. I'm not saying that you should do it, but there's a case to be had for that. So, end on that thought. I weigh that somewhat carefully. In our second episode, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about this tournament. We'll still cover a lot of these similar facets, but we'll layer in some additional things from our data in terms of strokes gained in the aggregate, quality strokes gained on the approach. We'll look at potential first-round leaders, a whole bunch of stuff that we want to throw in there for you in that second episode. And then we'll have a third episode where we talk about the LPGA event this week at the Ford Championship, Nelly Korda defends. We've got the DP World Tour in India, on what I truly think is one of the hardest golf courses on the planet. And then we've got the Champions Tour playing over in California at Mission Hills. So, interesting week ahead. Not a full boat of events, but a good slate. Hope you enjoyed this show. I appreciate you watching or listening as a podcast. If you consider joining Golf News Net for $40 a year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com, you get access to all of our tools, all picks and writing that I do, modeling, all the good stuff I do every week. We appreciate you being a member if you are, and if you're considering it, happy to answer your questions as well. You can get a hold of me on social media at Ryan Ballingy on your favorite social media service, or you can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can watch this show on Golf News Net TV, available on Roku, on our app, Golf News Net. And then you can also watch on Zeem, Free Life Sports, and Freecast, as well as on YouTube. Catch audio versions of this on Golf News Net Radio on YouTube. It's just audio, no video. I've been Ryan Ballingy. Thank you for watching. We will talk to you in the next one here on The Press.